I have two different scriptures I'm going to read today. The first one's from John, chapter 13, verses 31 through 35, and then Acts 11, 1 through 18. So this is from John. When he'd gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I'm going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And then this is from Acts. "Now the apostles and brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, 'You went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them.' But Peter began and explained it to them in order. 'I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, something like a great sheet descending, being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to me. Looking at it closely, I observed animals and beasts of prey and reptiles and birds of the air. And I heard a voice saying to me, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But I said, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing common or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But the voice answered a second time from heaven, 'What God has made clean, do not call common.' This happened three times, and it was all drawn up again into heaven. And behold, at the very moment, three men arrived at the house in which we were, sent to me from Caesarea. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And he told us how he'd seen the angel stand in the house and say, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will declare to you a message by which you will be saved, you and all your household.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord and how he said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When they heard these things, they fell silent and they glorified God, saying, 'Then to the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life.' So I call this all of us." So we've had this story up until the crucifixion that Jesus continues to tell the disciples. And it goes like this. And he told it to them lots of times. They never understood it. We're all going to go to Jerusalem. We're going to go into the town. It's going to be a big celebration. One of you is going to betray me. I'm going to be captured. I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be convicted. I'm going to be crucified. And 3 days later, I'm going to be risen from the dead. And they would all go, "Ah." And they never understood it. And I'll talk about why we know they didn't understand it a little bit. That story's gone because we're past that now. All those things have come to pass. And so in Jesus Christ, by God giving that power for him to be raised, God has been glorified. And it was through the obedience of Jesus. Because if you remember, the night before, he's praying to God, do I have the courage, do I have the strength to do what it is you're asking me to do? Because even on the cross, one of those two on either side of him say, "If you're so powerful, why don't you just get yourself off here?" And he said, "That's not what I'm supposed to do." And so he had this trust, this love, this admiration for God that he was able to obey. Now, my granddaughter was at our house yesterday, and she's 4. And if you haven't had a 4-year-old for a while, sometimes their ability to obey is kind of hit and miss. But what this is an example of, that as we were to obey our parents, and I'm fortunate enough, my mom's still with us, she's 93, that when she tells me to do something, I do it. Now, when I was younger and she would tell me to do something, I would say I was gonna do it, but often I did not, okay? But what Jesus does is he obeys God as we're supposed to obey our parents. And so any of the younger people in here that are children, you're supposed to obey your parents. That means no eye rolling, like I got some from Sophia yesterday, but you're supposed to obey. And through this example of what Jesus Christ does for all of us, we see how we can love God as he loved God. And all this was part of this resurrection, the ascension, and that final glory that we'll see is when Jesus Christ comes back in the second coming. So part of this scripture, not if you notice, he's really telling them about how he's leaving. And that always seemed to kind of confuse them. And I think there's four things that he tells us. He talks about how he loved the disciples selflessly. And the way we can see that is when he comes back and he comes up into the upper room, Peter's there after he denied Jesus. Now, Jesus does ask him some questions, and Peter kind of remembers his denial, but it's pretty likely that all of us in here at one time or another in our lives, we have denied Jesus either in our words or by our actions, one way or the other. And so he shows them how much he loves them, that he cares for them. When the two brothers want to come with their mom's urging, depending on which scripture you read, with their mom's urging about who's going to sit at the right hand of the throne of power and who's going to be at the left, he tells them they're wrong, but he doesn't say they need to get out because he cares for them. Jesus loved his disciples sacrificially. He sacrificed himself for them as he did for us. When they come to take him into the Roman soldiers, Jewish leaders, are going to take him into captivity. And Peter draws out his sword and he hits the first person there and cuts off his ear as we read it. Jesus said, no, we're not doing that. And he healed the man's ear. And he said, no more of this violence. He cared for them. If that would have continued on, they were overwhelmed. It's likely that they would have been killed. But he cared for them. He knew that wasn't under what was needed. He loved his disciples understandingly. When they did something wrong, he had the ability to forgive them. He had the ability to understand why they thought those things. If you think about the story that we hear in this 3 years of his ministry, at different times the disciples did things that would make them kind of on the outs of a group, of a normal group for us. So when Thomas, when Jesus comes the first time in the upper room and everybody sees him, and a few days later, Thomas sees them all and they tell him the story. Thomas says, well, I don't believe that. He said, I would believe that if I didn't see it with my own eyes. If I don't see the nail holes in the hands or the puncture in the side, I'm not going to believe that. And then about a week later, he's in the upper room and Jesus comes back. Jesus didn't say, you know what, because you didn't believe, you got to get out. He showed him his hands and showed him the side because he could understand why he wouldn't believe that. So he had told them time and time and time again, we're going to Jerusalem. We're going to be celebrated. We're going to be betrayed. I'm going to be crucified on a cross. I'm going to rise again. And Thomas was one of the group going, yeah, I get that. But he didn't really understand. And Thomas didn't believe until he saw him that day with them. There are probably some times in our lives where we really wondered if we believed. And so Jesus understands that. And the last thing he did, he showed in their loves by forgiving them when they did stuff wrong. When Peter denies him, they're forgiven. When Thomas acts like he doesn't believe he was risen, he's accepted back in, he's forgiven. When the two brothers, and probably their mom agitating, said, well, I want to be on the right hand and you can be on the left and we'll be the second and third in charge, he didn't get mad at him. He just explained to him it wasn't his to give. It's God's to give, not his to give. And so he believed this. Now, I ask you guys this question all the time, so let's see how we're doing today. How many of you in here are disciples? Very good, because we're all disciples, okay? So when you read this, when you think of disciples in this scripture, do you only think of the 12 or 11 disciples, depending on where you're at in the story? Or do you realize that he's talking to all of us when he does this? That this love that selflessly, his sacrificialness, his understanding, his forgiveness, isn't just for those 11 or 12 guys, depending on where you're at. It's for all of us. And it's all of us, not just in this room, but it's all of us everywhere. So we got that, right? Okay. Now, Acts is really long scripture, okay? So I'm going to tell you a story. In 1972 or 3, I went to a church that wasn't my home church. So I would have been 16 or 17. Why would a 16 or 17-year-old go to a church that he never had been to before in his entire life? And the answer is a girl. Very good. Very good. I heard several people say that. That would be the correct answer. Okay? I'd been going to a Methodist church. This was United Brethren. Scripture is pretty the same. There's the Brethren church split off from the Methodist church back like in the 1800s. And so everything was pretty the same. And so, yes, I went because a girl invited me. I know it's a shock and surprise that one invited me, but that's why I went. Now, I come up with all these different titles for sermons. And I bet none of you can remember any of them. And I spend a lot of time doing that. But in either 1972 or 1973, when I was at this church, I can still tell you today what the name of the scripture was, or his sermon. It was LSD. I thought, well, that's kind of a weird title. And it stood for Love, Service, and Devotion. Okay? So I don't know who that pastor was, but I would tell you if he's still with us, that must have been a heck of a sermon because I still remember it more than 50 years ago. Okay? What this Acts is about, if you take all these verses and put them together, and so this is sort of a common theme now, they'll talk about when I'm at meetings, either for the church sometimes or some of the committees I'm on, both for Minnetrista and Ball State, it'll talk about DEI. And what they're saying is diversity, inclusion, and equity. Now, they use different orders, and so it may not be the same order I put up there. And so from now on, when you hear this, you'll think about this. What this scripture is telling us is, up until now, the way they called it a Christianity was really about Jewish people believing in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And you were supposed to really keep, and this is what they were arguing about in Paul's letters mostly, is that you were supposed to continue to keep the Jewish rules as far as eating, drinking, any of the religious holidays were all the same. The only difference was that particular group of Jewish people believed that Jesus was the Messiah, and that's what they were arguing about within the religion. What this whole scripture is about is this vision that he has when it shows this giant sheet coming down and taking up all these different animals. It's that we're all included. He picked up the whole world and put it into one grouping. Which we think, well, yeah, that makes sense. But wouldn't it, for a Jewish person, would not have meant, they would have been very surprised. And when he gets this message and it tells Peter, just go ahead and eat whatever you want, his whole life, and we're not really sure how old he is now, his whole life was, he wasn't going to eat pork, and he wasn't going to do this, and he wasn't going to do that, because that's the way he'd been taught his whole entire life. And when you read through here, what God says is anything that God makes is not bad for you. It's good for you. And so when we put all this together, it's the very first DEI written phrase. We just didn't recognize as that. What he's telling in this vision is we're all in. It doesn't matter if you're Jewish. Doesn't matter if you're Gentile, which that's what we would be considered, unless one of us here was born as Jewish, that we're all in. And so for us now, 2,000 years later, we go, well, yeah, we'd all be included. But you have to remember 2,000 years ago, that would be really not what people would have thought. The Jewish people didn't like the Samaritans, and they were cousins. And it all went back because the Samaritans helped out. It was either the Romans or the Syrians, I can't remember now. And the Jewish people, the other side of the family, thought that they betrayed him. And so they had this divide. When he's telling the story about how the Samaritan helped someone, the regular Jewish people would go on, those Samaritans are worthless. They wouldn't help anybody. They'd be hurting you all the time. And so it's not just the fact that the Samaritan helps them, it's that it's a Samaritan doing it. And so we are supposed to be that same way. We are supposed to be able to include everybody. So it doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, where you came from. One of the things that the attorney said when I worked at a bank in Hartford City is that, and so people do this, I hope none of you do it here, is that people hold family against other family. And his saying all the time was, the apple does not rot far from the tree. And so if he had a cousin or brother or sister to family that he knew that was a problem before, he automatically assumed that person that we were talking about was going to be a problem. What I would tell you is to be careful that you don't do that. Just because somebody's brother or sister was a problem for you or you knew they did bad things does not mean that everybody in the family falls into that category. God has the ability to work within us to make us who he wants us to be if we're willing to open our hearts and minds for that. And what this is saying in Acts is we are all part of God's family. No matter where we're at, where we're from, what we've done in the past, we can be forgiven. So I gave the kids homework about going out and finding a friend and loving them and telling how much you love them. So guess what you guys are going to get for homework today, okay? There is somebody in your life that at one time you cared for that you probably, something has happened that's caused you to get a little farther away from them than you probably really want to be. Sometimes it's family, sometimes it's friend. I would tell you, just like she got the phone calls that cheered her up to call, and even if you didn't do anything wrong, tell them you're sorry. Because you know what the problem is. May not even be your fault. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. Just say you're sorry and see if you can have a conversation. And if they say, I'm still mad at you and I don't want to talk to you, you can say that's fine if you change your mind. Here's my number. Here's my email. Text me. Call me. Do something really outlandish. Write a letter. Any of those things. But for us, we need to remember that we are all part of God's family. That we all need to be in that sheet, being taken up at heaven at the same time. We want to love and care for everyone we can come in contact with. And so our oldest daughter was at the house, and she works for the state of Indiana, and her phone kept beeping yesterday. And the reason it was beeping is every time there's a shooting in the Indiana, if it involves a police officer, because that's who she's responsible for legally, her phone dings so she's aware of the situation. And it dinged 4 or 5 times yesterday afternoon at our house. The only way for us, God can do it, the only way for us to help is to get people to love one another, that understand how they can care for each other and they don't have to harm each other. Because there's no reason for week after week for people to be threatening people, shooting at people, robbing people, taking advantage of people, and all that can begin with us. Amen? Let us pray. Father, be with us as we go out into your world. Let your love and grace that you give us each and every day so freely, let us not hoard it or keep it within ourselves, but share it with all those that we come in contact with. Let us be a forgiving and loving people, and let us take that forgiveness and love that you give us out into your world. Amen.